Hello, and welcome to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. I'm Donnie Hadfield.
I'm Anthony Casella.
And I'm Quentin Lamar.
And we will be talking about the housewives of cities that you know and love. All right, but before we get into that, last week we talked about something, and I just wanted to bring it up again. I felt like it was brought up last week. I didn't have time to prepare. I felt a little bit attacked, and I didn't get a chance to defend myself. Now,
what
with that,
are you talking about?
I'll let you know because
what's happening here.
It's an intervention.
It's like an intervention.
Yeah, I've been sitting on it all week, and I just want to say that. There is nothing wrong with Kate Hudson's career.
Oh, wow.
So as Teresa would say, oh, my God.
I got feedback about that. I did get feedback.
Positive or negative?
Oh, negative. I had people in my life who were threatening to leave bad reviews.
Well, if they're listening, please don't. The Kate Hudson stands are serious. Because if you do leave a bad review, I'll leave one with you. Because folks, you have a friend here. We can... Let me be your shining light into Kate Hudson's golden career. Now, with that said,
they have the skeleton key to your heart.
Now, funny you should say that.
The Katydids will come for you.
Because the skeleton key, Roger Ebert gave a glowing 63%.
I have to be honest, I like the skeleton key. I do like
Wait a minute. Is her name Catherine?
Oh, I never thought about it.
Is she Catherine Hudson? I'm going to have to check this out.
We'll look into it. We'll have our interns get to that. I also wanted to say, looking into IMDb ratings, Raising Helen received a 6.0.
Can we please get to the real stuff here? What is happening?
No, wait, one second, one second.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days received a 6.4 on IMDb while Beverly Hills Housewives only receives a 4.9. So I know that's what we're talking about.
I just want to say that her given name is Kate. She was never Catherine, so she was born fun.
Well, with a mother like Goldie, I don't really know what to expect else.
I mean, you got a point.
All right. I just had to get that out of the way. Thank you for letting me vent. Now, before we get to the shows, again, I have more nonsense. This is not quite nonsense. This is just current events. So we had a big Housewives Week in the news. Let's first start with Teddy Mellencamp and her all-in cult. So for those of you not aware, Miss Teddy Theodore is a accountability coach. And for just $800 a month, a day? What is that? A week? She charges $800 and lets you eat 500 calories a day is basically the gist of it.
And texts you to yell at you.
Yeah.
I can do that for
$400. So
if anybody needs that.
That's his side gig.
Contact me. I'm a big black man. I will threaten you for $400 and berate you and make you eat.
Nothing. Never. Yeah.
My dislike
don't make you eat nothing.
My dislike of Teddy helps me burn all but 400 calories a day. So I am all in on that diet and I do not need her.
I think what's craziest to me is that the members had to sign an NDA and she is standing firmly with all of this. She said they know what they signed up for.
It's very The Vow. It's very The Vow. NXIVM vibes.
Our very own Allison Mack.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Teddy, it was reported, and nothing's official yet, but it was reported this week that Teddy will be out of Beverly Hills because she is boring and stale. That is just
both true.
Truthful journalism.
God, I hope so.
I know.
For me, Teddy Mellencamp is what happens when you're busy making other plans. So I kind of feel like they finally got around to firing her. And this controversy about All In probably helped push that forward. But I'm going to go to bed tonight and say a little prayer that this is true because I need it to be.
It's kind of a bittersweet thing for me. I'm like, she finally gets a plot line that makes her not boring and now she's leaving.
Yeah.
That's true.
Damn.
Unfortunately, she is not the only other exit that was reported this week. NeNe Leakes will not be returning to Atlanta. How do we feel about that?
It's not the first time.
Well, that's
been
true.
Gone before.
That was the film Glee.
That's true. It feels right. It's tough because I love NeNe.
Yeah.
I do too.
I really do. I don't feel like NeNe loves being on this show anymore.
Agreed.
And I want her to be happier more than I want her to be on the show.
And to be, whatever, selfish, because she doesn't love it anymore, I can tell. Like, she is not performing the way she used to, so she's not giving us the Nene I want on the show. You're kind of just wasting a peach.
Exactly. And you can't take it away from her. There is no Real Housewives of Atlanta without Nene.
Oh, of course not.
I mean, there wasn't when it started. She really kind of put that show on the map. Not that Sheree and Kim, to maybe a lesser extent, didn't help that show, but it was really Nene's that kind of made it sparkle.
I agree.
I don't disagree with that at all. I do think that given what Nene's brought, or which her performance lately, I would be fine if Nene was a friend of. Like, I feel like that's about the amount of work she puts into it. She doesn't engage in the reunions anymore. She, you know, she's really temperamental, and I get it. Like, if I was making that much money, I wouldn't want to put up with that either.
But right.
It's the job. So, like, if you deliver, or you're interested through the season, and then you don't deliver at reunions, I kind of feel cheated.
I agree. The reunions are what makes me bubble up the most. So when you're delivering throughout the whole season, I want you to sparkle and shine and explode, be a human firework at the reunion. And then when you just sit there with a smug face, turning your head, you're not really doing it for me.
No, and she shuts down at the reunions, and she doesn't want to engage. And when someone comes at her with either an accusation or a thought about her behavior, she will literally just repeat what the person says back to them, or say, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's sad, because I don't know if it had to be this way. And believe me, if I was making $1.5 million to go to dinners for 4 months, I would fist fight in the street right now.
Show up and do it.
Right.
Yeah.
We've said enough about exits. Let's talk about entrances. TMZ reported that Kathy Hilton is in talks for Beverly Hills as a friend of. Do we like this? Do we not?
I'd like it to happen.
I'm a fan of whatever can get Kyle together, and I feel like Kathy can do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I know some people online were saying, no more sisters, please. But I, especially if Teddy's gone now, that's one more group, one more member of the clique down. So anyone that can attack Kyle without her henchmen by her side, I'm really all for it.
Henchmen.
Yeah, and nothing, I mean, I don't have any siblings, but nothing, I'm assuming, gets under your skin like passive aggression from a sibling.
Right.
And I feel like Kathy is really good at that. From her past scenes where she would just say, you're wearing that? To Kim and Kyle, like, about going to different events. That's the kind of shit I love.
Yeah, I could take a whole season of that.
Yeah, a head tilt. You're going to wear that? I love it.
It's like, you know, siblings are like, it takes so little. Siblings can convey so much shade with just a simple action. And I mean, I think it's funny that, like, if they pay her, then she'll, like, go on vacations with her sister.
Well,
it's like, other than that, we don't see Kathy at all. So,
and I think Kathy likes it that way.
But so, I'm like, now she becomes a friend of. Now you get all this free time to see your sister.
Pay me and I'll hang out with you.
Let's do it. What do we have to lose?
Yeah, at this point, right. You can cast Kathy's shoe and I'll be excited. Okay, let's jump over to New York. We had part 2 of the reunion this week, but before we get to that, we have a guest this week who is at Sonia's Drag Bingo. So without further ado, Sahorny Beaver, welcome.
Hey, girl. How's it going?
Good.
Hi, Sahorny.
Hey. Welcome.
We're very glad to have you.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
Now tell us, are you more excited to be here or Sonia's party? I know they're equal in notoriety.
I mean, Sonia's my good friend, so I'd rather be at her party.
Right, that's what the name tag said at the bottom, so we don't have one of those prepared for you. I apologize.
Oh, you don't? I have to go.
Now, how drunk was she at the party? She seemed kind of drunk.
I mean, the moment I walked in, she was very high energy, and she was holding a drink, so I'm going to assume.
Was it a Coke and rosé?
You can assume.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just go with that. But she was very excited the moment we showed up, which didn't make the air. She was telling us all about the specialty cocktails they had, They had a Christmas sangria and some other drink with, I think, ginger in it. And it was made by these shirtless bartenders. So.
Well, we saw you at the bar often in the background of the scenes. So I'm glad you were... I'm glad you were taking full advantage of the shirtless bartenders and the Christmas sangria. How did it come to be? How did you get invited to the party? Can you tell us that?
Oh my God, I'm such an idiot. I didn't know that R-H-O-N-Y was a thing. So a friend of mine had a friend who they texted me while I was in an HR meeting at work. And they're like, hey, do you need drag queens for this Roni show? And I just thought it was some gig in New York City at some dumb club. So I was like, nah, I'm good. And I was sitting with my friend Christine, and she was like, that's Real Housewives of New York. And then I immediately switched and I was like, yes, count me in, bitch. Can I curse on here?
You just did. So
we'll edit that in post.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah. How many cameras were there? And were they intrusive, or did they kind of just let you do your thing?
They just let you do your thing. I mean, you would assume from watching the TV show that it's all in your face everywhere, yeah. But they had cameras on wires on the ceiling that would just go back and forth by remote control. And I, from what I remember, because I had a lot to drink that night as well, it was quite a memorable night, which I'll tell you about in a minute. There was three handheld cameras just walking around. And anytime Sohorny saw any housewives talking and the camera near the housewives, Sohorny went right behind them. Like that one shot you see me at the bar just turning around looking lost as hell. I only went over there because I saw a camera and the housewives talking.
Well, I'm glad you know how to find your light.
Sohorny, I like that you dropped into third person about yourself.
Oh, of course.
Donnie likes that too.
Sohorny, I have a question, if I may. During filming at the event, who seemed like the most difficult housewife, and why was it Ramona?
Oh my God. I was going to actually say Ramona. Ramona actually is one of the housewives I didn't know at all. And also Leah, because obviously it's Leah's first season.
Right.
So I actually was conversing with Leah, not knowing she was the housewife.
Well, she was in those sneakers. She seemed like she was just like.
You probably thought she was true. Yeah.
Common
she folk. Was so cool though. Ramona, the first time she saw me, she gasped and ran away like she was scared or something. And I'm like,
that's our Ramona. Yeah.
Sonia was high energy, was loving me. Leah was so cool and down to earth, just shooting the breeze with us. Dorinda, let me tell you about this moment I had Dorinda. The night that the party was shot was the same night that Trump got impeached.
Oh, wow.
So I was so wasted, and Dorinda's talking to, it was either a camera or somebody else, and I was standing next to her, and I just heard this news. So I tapped her on the shoulder, and I'm like, Dorinda, I'm like, did you hear Trump just got impeached? And she just looked me up and down and turned around and walked away.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And then
she's been impeached.
Someone told me recently that she's a Trump supporter, so I guess that makes sense.
I didn't know that, but I could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I have a question, if I may. I was wondering about Luann's live vocals.
I was going to ask you that, too. There are so many moments in history where people wish they could go back in time and be there for one of these iconic moments, but you were one of the first live audiences for Viva La Diva. So you'll forever have this with you.
It's kind of like when Mariah Carey did Unplugged. It's like Mariah Carey Unplugged.
Gonna Viva in our hearts forever.
And now this.
It's the same status, yeah. And it's also on level with her breakdown she had on TRL as well. Are you asking, was she singing live? Is that?
I mean, I don't doubt that she was singing live. I was just wondering, you can only get so much from watching on TV. Was it high energy? Now, I read high energy as drunk white women, but was everybody high energy?
Then it was high energy. Okay. It was it was, from what I remember, it was a lot of step touching, the white girl, a drunk dance.
Right.
The drunk two-step,
Yeah, the drunk two-step. And then towards the end, because the song was very repetitive, everybody started singing along and they started dancing.
Oh, that's
including
funny.
Me. But I whipped out my phone. I whipped out my phone and I recorded it. And I sent it to you the very next day. I was like, look at this clip of Luann performing the song.
It's the new Macarena.
It really is.
It's the new Living La Vida Loca.
Yeah, but with no dance moves.
I would say it's on par with Who Let the Dogs Out by the Baha Men.
Fair. So horny. If I may compare experiences, I had the pleasure of going to a Denim and Diamonds event during season 7 of The Real Housewives of New York City.
It's a competition now.
Hosted by one of the ex-housewives, Kristen Teichman. And I was surprised by how realistic it seemed. I thought there would be a lot more, go stand there now, say this now, you two come over here and do this. That did not happen a lot at the event I went to, but I was able to witness Ramona not being filmed, talking to herself and pacing on like the sidelines of the party, lathering herself up into some kind of like psychotic.
I feel like that's just Ramona.
Are we talking like Jack Nicholson and like The Shining?
Something like that. Did you witness anything that you couldn't really put your finger on it, but something seemed off with anyone?
Yes. Well, what's really strange about it is I had the same mindset going in thinking it was going to be like, stop. Okay, you guys really go here. But it was honestly just a party happening, and there just happened to be cameras there, and everyone was just like, there's points during the party where I was like, what do I do now? Because people are talking to each other, and you know, the housewives are busy over there. Like, I don't want to interrupt them. Right. So then I made friends with a lot of people, like the servers, and there's a few people. Like, after the party, I went to therapy with Sonia. This is where I almost knocked Sonia off a bar stool because I was so drunk I fell and almost pulled her down with me.
Wow.
Sonia was on stage, and I think she was about to bring on Luann to do her song, and then she mentions Ramona bringing a straight guy to the party, and then Ramona walks out, and she walked out right next to me and just starts fighting. And I thought it was the most random thing ever, and I was like, what is happening? This seems so staged. But now that I saw the episode and I got to hear the dialogue they had in the beginning when Ramona first showed up, the fight made more sense. But in that moment, it did seem very like coerced or like made up.
Right.
Did you, I know you said you were drunk, so maybe you were too drunk you didn't even know. Did you witness the Dorinda meltdown?
I wish. No, I was either A, way too drunk, or they weren't near me.
Okay.
Because it seems like it was towards the end of the party, and towards the end of the party, I was pretty drunk.
I was looking for you in the crowd. I couldn't really see you during all of that.
So horny. I'm curious. Aside from Viva La Diva, when you're at the party, are they playing real music? Are they playing Muzak? What's happening?
At the party, from what I remember, there was a DJ later on, like after we did bingo and everything. He played a few songs, and I remember the stage was empty, and there's a clip of all of us dancing on stage with the housewives, the drag queens and housewives, because I was bored. So I jumped on stage and I started pulling people up, and we were dancing to Hollow Back Girl by the one and only Gwen Stefani.
familiar.
Yes. The one and only.
The one and only. So if you actually watch the clip back of us dancing together, if you look behind Dorinda and Sonia, you can see me and I'm mouthing the words, ain't no Hollow Back Girl.
I don't think you need the music for that. I think that's always a true statement. Do you have any other tea about the evening, or did we kind of milk out your teacup?
That sounds nasty.
Oh, the place where they actually filmed the party was where they filmed Beyonce's Love on Top music video.
I thought so.
Those I was windows, getting that too. Yeah.
So that's what made me really excited to go to this party. But when we first got there, they didn't tell us what was happening. They're like, okay, you're going to turn this corner. There's a camera watching you. You're going to walk down the hallway. And as soon as we walked down the hallway, that's when Sonia's like, hi, guys, and like came up to us. And then all of a sudden these cameras run towards us. So like, it just happened all at once. And it was very overwhelming, but I had a lot of fun.
Sonia supports the LGBTQ.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yes, don't bring a straight guy to her party.
You're an idiot. Is that what she said to Ramona?
How am I? I'm not an idiot. Why am I an idiot? I just have a friend. He's straight. So what?
I like that your Ramona impression is a Joy Behar impression.
I was just going to say that. I was like, it kind of went to Joy Behar, but it's, you know, tomato, tomato. Yeah,
that's kind of like how my Dorinda impression is a Trump impression.
They're multifaceted, really, for any party. All right, enough about the party. We also had part two of the reunion this week, and it was pretty eventful, especially compared to Beverly Hills. I feel like the New York reunions airing the same week is just, it shows us how great the New York reunions are. So we'll start with, do you find Sonia funny like Lucille Ball?
Do we mean Lucille Ball like pretending to be a character? Like when she pretended to be like that, like old, like Italian woman, or like the geisha woman, or do we mean like actual Lucille Ball?
I think we mean, I don't know what Ramona meant. I think we mean Lucille Ball.
No.
No. I don't either.
I love Sonia. Don't get me wrong.
Same. I love Sonia. Sonia, if you're listening, she's not. I love her. But she's not Lucille Ball, but she is. She has that comic kind of frazzled. Do you want to know who she kind of reminds me of? Oh, God, I'm going to hear it from people. I get like Barbara Streisand in a zany 70s comedy vibes from Sonia.
Oh, a nice Woody Allen film.
So it's like... So
now I'm going to hear it from people. There is no nice Woody Allen film.
That's not true. There's Annie Hall. Come find me.
No, she's like, she reminds me. I do get that. She's like Barbara Streisand and like, what is it? Meet the Fockers?
Yes. Okay. That's what I think I meant.
I get that. I feel that.
It's like chaotic, like,
but endearing.
Oh, honey, like there's a pencil in her hair kind of energy at all times.
But it's always about to roll out. Yes. Like she has to carry a plate of a tray of plates as she puts the pencil back in her hair.
Yes.
So sorry, Ramona, not Lucille Ball. Ramona, speaking of, there's definitely a double standard there with Leah. They were trying to say, and then she denied it and then kind of said it was true, that it's because she's taking on this mother figure. I don't know if I agree with that, but there's definitely a double standard with Leah and with how she treats the other women, with what they say about, you know, chubby pussies and sex talk. And where do we think this stems from?
Jealousy.
Oh, because Leah's young and hot.
Yes.
That's it.
Okay. But yeah. So she's not threatened by her peers then? Is that it?
She feels that she can, Dorinda and Sonia, like, that's a level playing field almost.
Okay.
But, like, Leah is in a totally different league than Ramona. Like, even when Ramona was that age, Leah was still hotter than Ramona.
Well, yeah, we know.
So it's like, and we know that's the perception. Doesn't mean, like, you know, Ramona's not a good-looking woman, of course, but I feel that kind of plays into it. And now you have this woman who's younger, who is still doing, like, for her to be 37, if she's going to go out and hook up with guys and do all this stuff, it's going to be a different vibe than Ramona doing it at, what is she, 60? And I think her response is different.
Right.
And she is a bit jealous of that. And it comes across that way to me. That's just my opinion.
No, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, Leah has not a whole other life, but like a good 30 years that Ramona doesn't have anymore. Mm. There's a jealousy about youth, about beauty. Although I do find Ramona quite attractive.
Oh yeah, of course.
I do too. And I
think there could be a little bit of, they did bond a little bit, or, you know, Leah confided some things to Ramona about her own mother. And then I think their relationship kind of really soured at the trip where I'll say Leah had an episode and you know, drank a little bit too much. I think something really kind of shifted there. But Ramona absolutely holds her to a different standard than the equally or even less crass things that Sonia says. I mean, I find all of it funny, but Ramona definitely picks and chooses what offends
her. What outrages her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's upset by friends with benefits. Is she kidding?
I don't think she is kidding, no. Now, what offended me, and there's no double standard here, is when Tinsley talked about making out with her sister. I have two sisters, one that I'm particularly close with, and I've never thought to kiss her like that.
I don't think, well, I think that it's a different thing. It's like, it's one of those things that girls get together and they like, you know, they do stuff like that. Like you would, no matter how close you are with your sister like that, for them, it's weird. I'm not going to lie. But like for you to be a brother kissing his sister, like it's a totally different vibe. But you're not going to be like her explaining the setting of like, you know, there were a group of girls and one just happened to be my sister. I kind of get it. I don't feel like they needed to do anything between them.
But I certainly wouldn't say it on television.
It's not something that I would say on television either.
I don't know. Should I be saying this? I thought
we can edit it out in post.
I thought the story was going to be that they made out in front of like a guy to get like a guy hot. And then when the story was like, yeah, we were at a sleepover with all our girlfriends. The story turned into something different, kind of like an X-rated version of the Babysitter's Club. And it became more disturbing to me than if, and I feel like Andy was trying to give like, oh, you guys were young, like 12. Yeah. She's like, no, 20, 25. Like it just kept getting worse, right? It was odd.
And for our Babysitter's Club fans, Tinsley is definitely a Stacy. Now, I kind of just shit on Tinsley a little bit for kissing her sister. So let's say some positive things about her. I think she went into this episode just not giving a F. And I think she owned these women. I think she felt like she had nothing to lose. She's already off the show. So she has said things that were just a long time coming. And I was really proud of her.
It was incredible. I've never really seen a reunion performance where we knew we weren't going to get the cast member back.
Right.
And I mean, she knew too, because it was her choice.
Yeah.
I've never seen a performance be so strong. When she said to Dorinda, your Achilles heel is that you can never be wrong and it is going to be your end and your detriment. I said, was that John 3:16? No, it was Tinsley at the second part of the Real Housewives of New York reunion. That was biblical.
It was like a curse. It was like a curse. It was good. We saw like Tinsley was like giving the vibes of like when you check out of a job and you just don't give a shit anymore. Like that's exactly what it was. It's like, I've always wanted to be this person. So she basically came back and she did like the classic, F you, you're cool, F you. And I love to see it. I would have liked to see more of it while she was there.
Yeah. So Tinsley, if you're listening, feel free to drop by New York and tell these women how you feel about them at any point. And what I like about New York too, as opposed to like against Beverly Hills, is that they don't, even though they have a hierarchy of who their friends are and who they dislike, they will come for you based on the situation. Like there were a couple times when Tinsley like laughed at something Dorinda said, and there were a couple times when Tinsley like went for Leah's throat and said like, no, you're wrong here, which I really like. Where Beverly Hills, they say like, I'm friends with this woman, so I'm never gonna disagree with her, and anything she says is right.
Let's not get started on the alliances of Beverly Hills.
No, it's just a strong point for New York.
They have brokered those deals, so.
They short.
Yeah, New York is a little more willing to mix it up with who they call out. There is not really a team mentality.
Right.
Or a group bullying mentality. I mean, I would say as a whole, the group wasn't super great to Tinsley, but I don't know if, aside from Dorinda, I would categorize it as like a group pile-on. But they're a little more free-flowing with their conflicts at New York. Yeah.
And it makes for more captivating television. So we're already talking about Beverly Hills, so let's head over to Beverly Hills. This was the last part of their reunion, and it certainly went a lot differently than New York's. I had a friend that texted me and said, was the Beverly Hills reunion only two parts, or am I forgetting one? And I said, you're just forgetting one, but to be fair, I forgot the whole season, so we're not really going to attack you for that. So going into the reunion, my biggest problem is when Rinna talked about the Denise and Heather Locklear situation and then refused to get into it. Google it. You brought it up and you're the one being paid. Why am I doing the work for you?
It's a smear campaign. She did that just like to damage her credibility. And the fact that she couldn't say it outright was because she didn't want to get like in trouble for like hearsay or whatever. I don't know if it's true, but I do know that from the way she handled it, I think she doesn't know for sure if it's true. But that was just there to muddy the waters. It was we saw like almost political dirty fighting from Lisa Rinna.
I'm very soured on Lisa Rinna. I find her hard to watch at this point.
Yes.
There were multiple times that it made me angry to watch her. There was one moment when someone asked, what's the difference between Erica dancing at a bar in New Jersey and you dancing on Instagram every day? And she very smugly kind of sat back and said, oh gosh, I guess there is no difference. And there's something about her that's unwatchable for me. And she's very, very angry.
Yeah.
And I did like when there was a few times Garcelle asked, why do you care about this so much? And Denise said, you know, what changed for you with this friendship? And she couldn't answer it because this is either someone who is so angry in real life that she cares about this stuff, or it's a performance for the show and she's choosing to portray herself that way. And that's even sadder somehow. It was tough to watch.
I agree with that.
And I definitely think, I mean, I don't know where she's coming from, but I do feel like it's a performance because she's either playing this bad guy character that she created, or when she's in confessionals and like trying to make a joke, it's very clear to me she's performing there too. Like the fake laugh, she always like falls back to the side behind her chair when she does it. I don't get a genuine moment from her ever.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
And she's a hypocrite. She was quick to want to read the Denise and Brandy text, but then was very upset when Denise wanted to read her text with her.
She sure was. Yeah. There was definitely a double standard there. And if I feel like Lisa was trying to say those texts weren't relevant, well, if the texts between two cast members aren't relevant, why are the text messages between
a cast member and somebody who's no longer a cast member?
Exactly. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of not making sense from Lisa these days.
I found that the reunion was like really, I feel like lines were definitely drawn. Like it was very clear, you know, like Erica pretending like in no way Lisa bringing up the fact that she did Chicago was a problem when she's like, you know, I was happy to have that. And it's like, well, I don't remember seeing you on camera asking her anything.
Right.
So like, it doesn't mean that she had a problem with it, but for her to act like it's so out of left field for Garcelle to say that is like, okay, this is just a deal you struck. So it's like, you're going to be cool with her no matter what. And
them attacking Garcelle about not going to Chicago when they just said that Erica's husband didn't go and that was no problem.
Exactly. Why would Garcelle be held to a higher standard than Erica's own husband? It doesn't make any sense.
It made no sense. It was infuriating. No sense.
And that's what's funny to me, like Quinn said, to Quinn's point, these women have decided it's not a thinking for themselves kind of thing happening anymore, where we see in the other cities where they say, well, I don't agree with that, even if they're friends with someone.
Yeah.
These women have decided to back blindly anything that the people they've decided to align themselves with, and it ends up making them look foolish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not good TV.
This was really draining to watch. It was almost as draining as Denise's eyes, which something was happening there. I didn't like it. Like, I rarely feel gross. Sadly, I rarely feel gross watching these shows. I'm usually just like, love it, you know? I felt gross watching this. Like, it was not fun.
No. And the ending note that we went off on with Denise, like, almost in tears, just wanting to go learn her lines for The Bold and the Beautiful or whatever she's on.
Her papers crumpling in front of her homework. I gotta go. I have a test. It was great.
Well, I don't think it was great.
I do appreciate the bold and beautiful spoiler she dropped, though. I do appreciate that.
Oh my God, the footage of her with the mannequin?
Yeah, I was there for that.
That was good. Oh God.
That, I mean, that's basically what she was on Beverly Hills this year. She was our mannequin. We just didn't know. Needless to say, this city is a sinking ship. So what will it take to save Beverly Hills? Who do we need to fire? Who do we need to keep? Let's shake this shit up.
I don't know if to save Beverly Hills we need to fire housewives or producers, but
let's try both.
Definitely some changes need to be made. If Teddy's gone, which I hope so, that's a step in the right direction. She said something during the, she like co-signed something during the reunion that just literally made me like roll my eyes so damn hard. But it was something that was like extra and not needed and seemed very fake. And I'm like, okay, get her the hell out of here. Like, she's literally not doing anything now. So her being gone, great start. I think Erica Jane should also exit.
Agreed.
She doesn't bring anything anymore. She is a stuffy Southern woman, and that's all she is now, who likes to do drag. So
that's true.
Just
that's who I think. Yeah. I think those two, I'm cool with if they mix it up with other people. I'm cool with everybody else staying. Like, I'm cool with Kyle staying, mostly because I want that friction between Kyle and Garcelle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that for them because I think that they'll probably ultimately become friends after that. But it's going to have to get ugly first, and I'm here for the ugliness.
Erica and Teddy are just boring. Kyle and Rinna, I want to see stay for like that scene in Mean Girls with the chalkboard where they like cross off where if we take away their resources, we can attack them that way. So like I want to see Rinna and Kyle without friends to support them.
Like a strategic assault.
Yeah.
And if you had told me that Dorit would have a mind of her own, Queen Dorit, icon, legend, new Supreme Dorit.
Beaded baby hair.
They're not going to cut do it, like, Denise.
I do like Dorit. I do.
I love Dorit.
Yeah, Buka the goddess.
I would I would love, what did Kyle say at the first part of the reunion? And Dorit goes, is that what you're saying, honey? I love it. I want Dorit, Garcelle, Kyle, and Rinna only if I can be guaranteed that the next season is a Rinna takedown.
I'm into that.
Yeah, I'm done with Erica. Mm-hmm. I'm done with Teddy.
I would keep Sutton, though. You know I'm a Sutton boy.
Sutton.
Slut for Sut.
I like Sutton too. I do like Sutton. This is controversial. People either love or hate. I love.
I know.
I stand Sutton.
I do. Sutton stands. Yeah.
Sluttons.
There it is. I knew we'd get there eventually.
Sutton Strachey.
Sluttons.
Speaking of sluts, let's head over and talk to Michael Darby. So this episode of Potomac was wild. We had one of what I think is the greatest fourth wall breakages in a Housewives franchise ever. So let's talk about that, and then we can just talk about Michael and Ashley's situation in general. Did you love the fourth wall break it?
I did. My dream in life is to be a producer who, as Michael Darby is ordering a beer, has to run over and like intervene. That's my dream. That's my dream. Well, you guys are doing great. You guys are doing great.
Unfortunately, someone beat you to it, but
they sure did.
I was shocked and embarrassed for them. So yes, I loved it.
Yeah, it was so good. I think a part of me feels like it was staged. Just the situation in general and the, not from a producer's point of view, but from like an Ashley and Michael point of view. They said like, we had lawsuits against you last year. You groped people. This year, let's give them a story. Like go pose in a hotel room with your panties on, whatever. Ashley's not giving me enough like shock and hurt for me to believe that she's taken aback by this.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, this will be controversial. I think for them, it's more important to clear Michael's name and try to get rid and erase any of the gay rumors.
Right.
And they are putting out a story about him having an affair or not having an affair, but the intent is there with a woman.
Right.
And then in that scene where the producer intervenes, the emotion emotions are real because they're really talking about the cameraman groping and the other stuff. But I think this was a story that they kind of created to get the focus taken away from Michael being gay, because they probably still see that as shameful. And even I really thought it too when they were at the winery and Ashley was turned on at a David Guetta concert with a woman, and someone said, I think it was Monique, said, two guys? And she said, no, a girl. And it was like almost the relief in Monique's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That made me think, oh, that's what this is. We're trying to like get away from the gay rumors, and an affair or an intended affair with a woman is better than just owning what the truth might be.
I think you're exactly.
No, I think that's exactly, maybe not exactly right, but I do think that's really close to it, if that's not it. I've been bringing this up before. I don't know. Anybody is not talking about Candace's anti-gay rumors. Like, that is a big deal in the Black community. And with a lot of Black women, that is how gayness is looked at. It's like almost better that you cheat with a woman than with a man. And I don't need to go into how that is, how that plays out. But the look on those women's faces, I feel like it says it all. Like, that's how they look at it. And I don't get why at his age and with everything, why it would matter whether or not he cheated with a man. Because he could be, to be honest, I can't even say that I feel like Michael Darby is gay. I feel that Michael is probably pansexual. And I don't think that's anything that they're going to try to like grasp or like work through. So you get this crap where Ashley was literally asked if they had an open relationship a long time ago, and point blank said no. And now she's just like, oh, as a matter of fact, you know, we have a situation or understanding. Like, well, when did this understanding happen?
Right. I feel like they got caught. So now they are slowly leaking like what they feel comfortable with the story. Because on Instagram Live this week, after the episode aired, Ashley came on and said, a lot of you are asking why I'm still with Michael and why we're having a second baby. And I wasn't always a good wife, and I've cheated on him a lot, and he took me back. So now it's my turn to forgive him and take him back. And that was never discussed either. Not that like she needed to throw it on the table, but I feel like when these questions are brought to them, that's when they like, oh yeah, you got us against the wall, so we'll give you this. But it's still not the whole story.
Yeah.
Speaking of an untold story, Giselle's fashion is just that's it. That's the untold story.
It's fill in the blank.
And whatever blank you're filling it in with, it's worse.
How do we feel about the serial killer glasses from last episode?
I cackled. Giselle's fashion is so bad that I half expect a laugh track to play every time she walks in the room. It's so like, bad.
Oh my God.
How do you find ugly workout clothes? Like, how do you do that?
Her house is hideous too.
Oh my God. It is ugly. Like a generic brand Barbie dream house. Like when you buy at the dollar store is Giselle's house.
And she's so confident too. I have great taste.
And then like cut to the living room.
It's just, like, who told you that?
Yeah. But when she showed up at that store in the pleather top and these like Charlie's Angels X-ray glasses, I tweeted and I said, why is Giselle dressed like an Avenger? And then she wrote back and said, because I am one. I was like, okay, well, it got me there, I guess. But you still dress like shit.
Those glasses, they were very Dahmer. But you're right, they look like spy glasses. They look like they could like see through stuff and decode like hack keypads. Like, yeah, they but they're supposed to be inconspicuous, but there's no way they could be.
Yeah. She just had I think she turned 50 this week. So she just turned 50 and she had a photo shoot for her 50th birthday. And people online started a GoFundMe to raise like $15,000 so she could reshoot it again in clothes that they picked out.
You know, do you know it's kind of like the interstitial moments when they're either exiting or going into a skit, and the host of SNL will kind of be like in a photo that's kind of wacky. Like someone will have like toilet paper at the bottom of their shoe, or it's like a grown man dressed as a baby in a diaper. That's what that photo looks like.
It really looks like,
is this ironic? What's happening here?
You're not wrong.
Oh my God. There's a Instagram account, Vicky Judice is the name, and she always puts bad perms on all of the housewives. And whenever she posts one of Giselle, I never know if it's photoshopped or not. I think she just sneaks one in as a like to trick us. So Potomac gave us a quick to be continued of the Monique and Candace fight, and we're running out of time, so we're going to do a to be continued as well. So we're going to get into it, but if I cut you off, it's just to leave you hungry for more. So let's get into it. I don't want to be attacked, so I don't want to talk. But
you have to talk.
I am Team Monique. And with that said, I know that I am the problem. And I know that there could be footage of her locking those women in that barn and setting it on fire, and I would still make excuses for her. But I just can't see Candace's side. Attack me.
I'm not going to attack you because I refuse to see Candace's side. And like I said, I can't condone violence. Of course, there's a better way to handle that on both sides. Like, I don't condone that. But I think that I am, my dislike of gay slur Candace has clouded my ability to judge this in a fair and unbiased way.
I agree.
Much like, so, you know, I'm like Andy Cohen. I'm not unbiased in this.
Right.
So I'm team Monique because I don't like Candace. So
Monique is just one of my favorite housewives of all time, and Candace is one of my least favorite housewives. So for me to find a common middle ground is very tough.
So I don't like Candace and I like Monique, but I am seeing for the last few episodes Monique behave in a way that I see someone who is under a lot of stress, and I feel like she's angry at Candace, but it's really about something else.
Right.
Yeah.
She says is kind of lining up for me in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's stuff with her husband, I think. Mm-hmm. There's stuff with trying to get Not For Lazy Moms off the ground, taking care of her kids, and probably, I don't think this was on the show, but maybe some things that were being orchestrated by the cast members behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But then it was a recipe for disaster because I at first thought they had been drinking at the winery.
Right.
And at first it seemed a little like when you're not really having a fight, but the fight's having you and you're having fun having the fight. And it was a little like, oh, they were a few glasses of wine. Okay, come on. Like it seemed a little like performative, like when someone's like smile and you turn in front of the Christmas tree and you're like, you put it on. That's what was happening. And then it seems like something's going to turn.
Right.
And I don't know if maybe I'm making it up. Back when we saw the trailer for the whole season, we saw footage of Candace kind of playing with Monique's hair.
Uh-huh.
I might have to go back. I thought Monique started like the hands and in the face and the hair kind of stuff.
So on Instagram last night after the episode, Monique said that Candace does the hand first, but then Monique put her hands in Candace's hair first. She said that Candace like flipped her hair in front of Monique's face, so then Monique touched it. So in terms of like who put hands on who first, Monique is in the wrong there.
And I can totally see Candace flipping her hair in somebody's face.
Yeah. I think that Candace and friends, Giselle and Robin, are definitely not innocent in this. I think that Candace and friends wanted to provoke Monique. Well, she's provoked.
Yeah, this doesn't feel to me like, for me, it doesn't feel like it's going to be a team someone.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a stew of things that is going to end badly. I will say, I don't think either of them are going to be back next year.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like Candace will be let go, and I feel like Monique will walk away from it.
Wow.
Well, we got to do something, because I don't want to be stuck with Wendy.
I'll take T'Challa.
So we're going to need to fill some spots other than that, because, you know, at this point, I could see, I know we're not supposed to be getting rid of people. I could see Robin Dixon leaving. She can get married and go on happily ever after to me.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, unless they do something with Wendy, and I don't know what they're going to do, but they better do it quick, because I'm not impressed.
Yeah, it bothered me. And I know we're like 9 episodes in, so I shouldn't be treating her as like the new wife, whatever. But when they were asking questions about Ashley and Michael, and Wendy was raising her hand, she's like, pick me, pick me, pick me. It made me mad. Like, why do you think of all these women that have known me for 5 years, why are you the one whose question I'm going to answer?
Yeah, I don't love Wendy. And it's the kind of not loving her where I'm not even...
She's not fun to hate. Yeah.
I'm not interested in being annoyed by her. I'm just bored by it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No. A Potomac Teddy.
I think I think next year is gonna be a rebuilding year for Potomac.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
I'm here for it.
I just, in terms of Monique and Candace, a wise woman in Atlanta once said, don't start none, won't be none. But once you start it, I'm going to finish it. And that's just how I feel about Monique. And Candy is that very wise woman, for those of you at home who don't know.
Oh, it sounded like Maya Angelou to me.
It could be both. It could be both. Yeah, a duet. Mm-hmm. So I think we've reached the end of our show. Do we have any final thought?
I would just say that if what I've been thinking about lately, or like since we watched the New York reunion, is that I cannot unsee what I feel Tinsley should have been doing before she left, now that she performed that way at the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder how differently the exit she made, or how differently things would have gone for her if she would have had those balls that she brought to the reunion. So I just keep thinking about, I really like Tinsley now, and now she's gone. So and my thought is, let's do a Real Housewives of Chicago.
Yes, please.
I could be into that. My final thought is, Andy Cohen is part of the problem on Beverly Hills. The way he's been handling this reunion doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel like we're asking the real questions. I mean, Erica said a really disgusting thing about Denise's kids already maybe engaging in threesomes. And I know it was brought up, but I feel like he doesn't push them the same way he would push the women in other cities. Like, he will yell at the women in New York. Yeah, it's something about his kind of phoned in attitude about holding everyone who is ganging up on Denise, the way he kind of is just phoning it in. I didn't like it. It wasn't helpful.
I agree. And he almost jumped in on the ganging up. I mean, he made a point, but when Denise said she wasn't invited to see Chicago, and he said, well, that's when you were suing us. Like, let a housewife say that. You're not on the payroll here.
Yeah, because it's like we're picking and choosing when we want to kind of like more so break down that fifth wall. Also, unrelated, really quick, the list of 30 names that Bethany provided, that's my new Trump taxes. Release the names.
Release the names.
Release the names. Who are the names?
All right. You can follow the podcast at Know That Pod on Instagram.
And you can find Sahorny Beaver on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Sahorny Beaver, which is Sahorny Beaver.
And you can follow me, Anthony Casella, at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Quentin Lamar.
You can follow Donnie at Real Donnie Wood on Instagram or Twitter. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is a staple in the cinematic history of romantic comedies and a highlight of Kate Hudson's acting career.
Donnie.
Know that.
Donnie. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. My God. My God.